Tom Karkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. Our AccuWeather forecast for today. We're going to have clouds and sun. We'll have a high of about 66 degrees. Temperature-wise, around southeast Wisconsin, we are looking at this hour in Kenosha where it's 53. It's the same thing in Burlington, Milwaukee 55, 54 degrees in Racine. A lot of discussion about planning at the Caledonia Village Board meeting last night. Two ordinances that make the 2035 comprehensive plan for the village the main governing document, while deleting references to the previously adopted 2006 land use and neighborhood plans and maps. During citizen comments, nobody spoke in favor of casting aside the 2006 plans.
By retaining your own plans, you maintain control of your own community.
If you open that door and zone M3, you can't close it.
What you are doing when you throw out the 2006 plan is you are saying to all of us that we don't count.
Set this decision aside for 6 months. Set up a committee through the Plan Commission and the CDA to look at the differences between the two plans.
Meanwhile, Julie Anderson, Racine County's Public Works and Development Services Director, adamant in correcting news accounts that the 2035 plan came from SURPAC, which she said was only a consultant.
Each community had their own input. Each community had their own hearings. Each community had their own public participation. Planning commissions all got shots to look at the plan map. Caledonia's was kind of easy because they took 2006 data and they pulled it into the 2035 plan. So that's why, another reason why, to have competing documents doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Village Attorney Elaine Eka said the 2035 comprehensive plan would continue to be the controlling document. The vote on the ordinances was 4-2, with trustees Ed Welling and Lee Wishaw against them, due to nothing documented to show differences between the two plans. The issues related to severe erosion eating away at the bluffs along Lake Michigan and Mount Pleasant in Caledonia, and even Summers, going to be addressed with affected property owners during a meeting at the Mount Pleasant Village Hall beginning at 5:30 this evening. County Executive Jonathan Delagrave says the intent to develop a common understanding about the problem and the options available to both the residents and affected municipalities. About a dozen homes in Mount Pleasant, along with some village infrastructure threatened by the erosion, also impacting areas of Caledonia, as well as some homes in Summers. Sewer work on Sheridan Road at the Highway 165 intersection in Pleasant Prairie, prompting village officials there to warn drivers, use extreme caution at that intersection over the next several weeks. The village planned a temporary four-way stop at that area with approval from the DOT. Now, because motorists are not accustomed to stopping on Sheridan Road at that location, it's being recommended anybody driving through the area not assume that all other vehicles on Sheridan will be stopping. The temporary signs expected to be in place for about 8 weeks, then removed when the sewer project there is complete. Racine's Common Council agenda including a communication from the Tavern League seeking discussion about their request to hold off on enforcement of overnight alternate side parking restrictions until 3 a.m. instead of 2 o'clock so that staffers don't get tickets while closing down the bars and rideshare customers don't get a ticket for doing the right thing. It got some unofficial discussion recently with the Public Safety and Licensing Committee and one of the city's multi-bar owners, Joey Legath.
If you close your bar at 2 in the morning and you are a busy bar and you cannot possibly clean up the bar, do the till, drop money maybe, stuff that you need to do all the time at closing, and get to your car in time to not get that ticket.
Alderman Jeff Coe chairs the committee, said it's been an issue for some time. His belief is that a change would be okay for business districts. Police Chief Art Howell, during the unofficial discussion, said a rideshare customer's parking ticket was voided, while an alternate to amending the time of the ordinance might be to dole out passes for bars to give to employees. Tavern League members telling the committee that snow situations would, of course, preclude the special parking consideration. The issue is probably going to be sent off to the Public Safety and Licensing and Public Works committees for some formal discussion. Couple of men from Illinois facing charges, a Mount Pleasant police officer spotted them in a vehicle believed involved in the theft of several other vehicles from a local dealership. 50-year-old Israel Staley, appearing in Racine County Circuit Court on 6 counts of theft, he and 36-year-old LeVar Outlaw facing 1 count each of conspiracy to commit theft, and operating a motor vehicle without the owner's consent. Mount Pleasant Police Captain Brian Smith reportedly spotted a Ford pickup with a distinctive paint job, recognizing it seen in a security video from Picaro Ford. Checking the license plate, the truck was reported stolen in Indiana. Following the traffic stop, several key fobs taken from the dealership found in the truck, along with Illinois dealer plates and several screwdrivers. A search of one of the suspect's phones allegedly revealed messages that referenced orders taken for stolen vehicles. Pleasant Prairie Police investigating a carjacking that happened in broad daylight last week at the Premium Outlet Malls.
A 37-year-old woman told police she had parked her vehicle in the lot near the north end of the shopping complex early in the afternoon on June 3rd when she was approached by a man armed with a gun. The man demanded her car, money, and cell phone, which she handed over. The man left in her vehicle and was last seen heading north. Another vehicle possibly involved in the robbery was seen following the victim's vehicle. The stolen vehicle was recovered in Milwaukee over the weekend. Anyone with information about the incident is urged to contact Pleasant Prairie Police. Janet Hoff, AM 1400, WRJN News.
In court, a Racine man gets 41 years in prison for a conviction of armed robbery and endangering safety. 26-year-old Onansis Roach, sentenced by Racine County Judge Eugene Gasakevich, who also imposed 22 years of extended supervision. Roach, in February of 2015, accused of robbing a man at gunpoint in the driveway of the victim's home, then jumping into a friend's car as they drove away, firing several shots at the victim, who was following in his vehicle. One of those shots narrowly missed the driver's child in the back seat of the car. And 20 years in prison, the sentence for a Racine man who pled guilty to robbing the Landmark Credit Union office on Washington Avenue in Mount Pleasant in May of last year. Judge Gasakevich also sentencing 51-year-old Andrea Ashford to 5 years of extended supervision. Racine's Redevelopment Authority voting to support three separate initiatives, two in Uptown, the other on the city's south side. A development agreement with Herman and Kittle Properties for veterans housing in the former Clark Street manufacturing space near Uptown includes up to $655,000 through the Brownfield Revolving Loan Fund and financial assistance through a newly created tax increment district number 19. That's according to new development director Ann Connolly.
The project's also receiving historic preservation tax credits, so the buildings itself will be preserved to look like an industrial building as it is. And they've gone to great detail to make sure that those are that the project is an adaptive reuse, but it's sensitive to the historic nature of the buildings.
A $150,000 RDA grant will fund a community housing development organization with intergovernmental dollars used until TID-19 can reimburse that. And the RDA says yes to a brokerage firm, RFP Commercial, marketing the Southside Industrial Park off Decoven Avenue and Memorial Drive, listing it for $390,000 and 8% broker commission with a sale. No debate last night in Kenosha as the city council approved a purchase of one of the largest vacant buildings and well-known buildings in downtown. It's a combination of capital improvement dollars and the Housing and Development Investment Fund. The city to pay $260,000 for the building at 7th Avenue and 58th Street, which last housed the Barton store, which closed in 1997. City officials say they want to control the future development of that building and prevent it from any further deterioration. City Council in Kenosha again deferring final payment on the reconstruction of the velodrome until such time as the cause of the cracks in the concrete surface can be determined and how that can be fixed. Carl Wilkins has been involved with the velodrome for nearly 40 years. He urged the alderman, hold up on that payment. Get the repairs started as soon as possible.
Every day we let it go, it's going to be damaged. But I can't see paying the contractor who, whether it's his fault, the city's fault, the engineers, I don't care. Something should be done to get that track open. Stabilize it. Let us ride it.
Alderman also supporting the transfer of $20,000 out of contingency to claims to pay for the sonar testing on the track surface. Caledonia's Village Board last night voting in favor of resolutions for Norco Manufacturing to build a 137,000-square-foot industrial building in a 187-acre industrial park being created by Wispark LLC along the I-94 corridor. Executive Jerry Frankie said it's a unique site, with Norco the only building to start out of six planned.
That range in size from the smallest of about 62,000 square feet up to the largest of 1,170,000 square feet. This is a very unique site. These large areas you see in here, I wish they would have colored those green, because those will remain open space. There's a lot of topography there. there's a lot of wetland there.
Responding to a few concerned citizens' comments about zoning and what other uses could be allowed, Frankie said this park is set up as an investment, adding, "We do not want anything at the site that will impair that investment." A resolution authorizing a developer's agreement with Wyss Park unanimously approved, as was the conditional use resolution for the Norco building. The Burlington Common Council meeting and committee will hold this evening. The agenda includes a resolution authorizing Carlson Detman Consulting to complete an employee classification and compensation study for $26,500, a council vote to follow on that tonight. The Burlington Council, at the end of its regular agenda this evening, has scheduled to have a closed session about a possible legal action regarding the owners of two dogs involved in bite incidents. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscasts in the local news section, and at WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karko, WRJN News.